Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand out of respect for the Word of God. As many of you know, I have been on vacation since wrapping up preaching for over 1,300 plus days. In fact, I preached that last message to take us over the hump, if you will, the day that Kobe Bryant died. It was on Sunday morning. I was preaching, and I did not hear anything about it until I finished preaching. And since that time, a whole lot of folks have died. And we're living in perilous times. In my own family, my baby brother has died. And of course, some of you know that Dr. Tony Evans lost his wonderful wife, and before that, his father, his brother, and his niece. So let that be a reminder to you, dear friend, that you're going to die. And whether you're saved or lost, you need to get prepared. You need to get ready. If you're already saved, confess your sins and repent. Get out of sin. Make things right with the people in your family and in your circle of friends. If you have offended somebody or you have lied about something, tell the truth. Make things right. Make things right with your spouse, with your children, or your parents, or whatever the case might be. For as I shared with my mother, more deathbeds are coming, and you need to be ready. You need to be prepared for that. We're living in perilous times, and if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you certainly need to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You need to repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, and that's a fact, because the eternal burning hell awaits you. I know it may sound like a joke to you because preachers don't preach on hell anymore, but hell is still hot. Heaven is still sweet, and Jesus still saves. Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're preaching a little bit earlier today because we have another meeting that we're supposed to go to. But as I was praying in this service, the thought came to my mind, with people not having a handle on this coronavirus, that maybe it is something we could get out of, because my children would be going with me, so, and they'll be doing most of the work among people that we don't know. And so we'll see what the Lord says as we go on. But somebody, if they can, with some confidence and assurance, they need to get a hold of this thing and tell us the truth, because this thing is jumping around like the Black Plague. Thousands have been killed already. I believe almost 40,000 more cases that they're telling us about. So pray for those families as well. We have been praying for them. Pray for Mrs. Bryant, because it is not over, Kobe Bryant's wife, and pray for the other families that are hurting. Pray for your family if you have a death in the family. Pray for the people who are the closest to the individual. Pray for them. Pray for Dr. Tony Evans and his family. whatever you do, Dr. One of the doctors of prayer said the main business you ought to be engaged in is the prayer business. And you need to do that for others as well as yourself. Allow me to preach in your hearing by the grace of God, the power of the throne of grace in prayer. Part 3, Praying Through the Bible, message number 394. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, his name, by the way, is none other than Jesus Christ. We just sung one of the old hymns of the faith before earlier in the service. I hope you know we have a full service before you see me. And if I could sing, you would see me throughout the whole service. If I could sing like my dad. But I can't sing like my dad, and you'll probably run away before you hear the preaching. But in the song, it dealt with, if you have Jesus in your life, you should not be discouraged. And I believe that. If you know Jesus Christ, you should not be discouraged, no matter what you're going through. And sometimes, my beloved, it will come hot and heavy. The trials, the tribulations, the troubles, the pain. But if you're focused on Jesus and you're praying to Him, if you're taking it to the Lord in prayer, I believe that was the hymn, you ought never to be discouraged, because you know it's going to be all right. He is our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. We're not talking about your pastor. We're not talking about the priest in the Catholic Church. We're not talking about the Pope. They're just mere men. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. And by the way, He's still with us today. I don't care what you're going through, you need to look to Him. When I pray for all of the people who are going through things today, I pray, my family will testify to this, I pray that whatever they're going through, Lord, whatever pain, trouble, tribulation, they turn their eyes towards You, Lord Jesus. And I say that because Jesus Christ is the only somebody who can really truly help you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He's already in heaven, sitting at the throne of grace, as we talked about in the first message. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let's not quit and go back. We believed on Christ, no matter how tough it gets, because the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, through much tribulation must we enter into the kingdom of God. Become, in the words of Walter Lake, a professional of your profession. No matter how dark the night, you stand firm. With folks dying on your left and on your right, you stand firm, undaunted. And God gave me a quote today. I might not be able to share all of it with you. I don't have, I typed it up. I sent it to my children. But it goes something like this. praying without ceasing is the only way to successfully and cheerfully get you through the vicissitudes of life. The word vicissitudes means the ups and downs of life, the bad and the good. If it's really, really good, help keep you level. If it's really, really bad, it'll help keep you level. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, instead of yielding up your profession of faith in Christ, instead of throwing in the towel, instead of quitting, instead of falling apart, as so many so-called Christians do. Or we have Christians who can celebrate and raise their hand and dance, and but when tribulation comes, they fall apart. You know why? They really did not have a relationship with the Lord as they should have. Because people who are really Christians, they're true Christians, and are prayed up and in relationship with the Lord as they should be, with sins confessed and repented of, they don't fall apart when trouble comes and tribulation comes. Some might stagger, but they don't fall apart. Dr. Tony Evans and his family are a good example of that. Did they hurt? Yes. Did they have pain? Yes. Were there some tears? Yes. But because of prayer and the Word of God in their lives, they stood the test, the trials, and the tribulations, and will continue to do so. And you can too, and you should. Because of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Instead of falling apart, go boldly to the throne of grace. You might be bleeding, you might be crying, you might be in pain, and all you can muster is four or five words. Muster them, that we may obtain mercy. I'm here to tell you, God will give you mercy and God will give you grace to go through whatever you're going through. How many of you were going through something real bad, it bothered you all night long. You got up not wanting to face the day, but a little prayer wheel was turning on inside, and you got up and you prayed the best you could. And somehow something told you on the inside, go ahead on and get on up now and do your work. Do what I've called you to do. I'll see you through it. And then after a while, by and by, you feel what the old preacher used to say, I feel my help coming. How many of you have had that experience when you feel your help coming after prayer? Before you know it, you're 3 hours into it. You're 5 hours into it. You're flat getting it now. You got your second win. You might have to go back at your prayer altar and pray a little bit more because you might start feeling weak, but God got you through it. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the sacrificial Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world through your pain and shed blood, your burial and your resurrection, allowing us now to come boldly to the throne of grace. In fact, you're encouraging us to do it because you know we don't have it within ourselves to even think we even have that privilege to do it. You didn't tell us, Lord, to come to the throne of grace. You said come boldly because you knew that we would all be sheepish and shy about even approaching you, even in the time of need. And some of us are too proud to do so. Have mercy, Holy Father God, upon us all. And as we individually confess our sins before your throne of grace, because, Lord, we know that you still want us to do that. You want us to be humble and confess our sins. And you want us, by your grace and by your power, to repent of our sins and to turn from our evil ways. And grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do all of that, and help us to be broken and humble before you as we boldly come to your throne of grace in time of need. And Lord, as I look around, it looks like almost everybody is in need of this grace and mercy. And Holy Father God, I pray again for Mrs. Bryant and those girls and all of the other families impacted by this awful tragedy. Comfort them as only you can. Holy Father God, I pray for my mother and my two sisters and all of the family members and friends who knew my baby brother, that you would comfort them during this difficult time. For many of them may not be prepared for this and are shocked. And Lord, give them your grace. And help them, Lord, to be reminded through these deaths that are all around us now that they're going to die one day and that they need to trust Christ as Savior if they have not done so. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. Those of us who are saved as we come to the throne of grace, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. Hide us behind the cross. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind and cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts in the hearts and lives of people who, even in the family, who would try to hinder your holy word, your holy gospel from going forward. And Lord, I know we live in a day and time that we ought not to have these satanic attacks coming against us. We're supposed to be in the prosperity gospel day. But there is somebody fighting me every day. The devil is fighting me every day and trying to hinder me from preaching your gospel and your holy word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would cast out the devil, the demons of hell, cast out the spirit of the devil and the demons of hell and of Judas out of the lives of people here and out there. And cast out the hindering spirit of Sanballat and Tobias. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from every aspect of this meeting. And Lord, as you know, we've been praying about this all day long. This is just the first time these people are hearing it. And I'm sure there are some who wish I would not pray like that, but I must. And Lord, I pray that you would give a sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Holy Father God, by the power of your Holy Ghost and by the power of your Holy Word and your Holy Gospel, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. And grant me, Lord, fresh unction and anointing, and freedom and liberty in the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Have it to be done, all of it to be done for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the glory, praise, and honor of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. Steve Schwartz said, cultivate your trust and, if you will, your familiarity with the Lord in prayer now, so that when the hammer comes down in your life, when the dam breaks or bursts, and when the earthquake hits, the door to the throne room of God is well oiled and will open easily when you not walk through it, but run through it. Now, that is a sermon all by itself. Allow me to share that again in your hearing. Because really, you can take that home with you, put it in your cap. And that is a rebuke to many of us tonight. Because that is one of the problems in the Christian church. The reason why we have so many Christians falling apart when just a little heat comes, it is because they have not been praying all along. That's why God gave me a prayer to share with the world, and it has encouraged many people. It's called the Life Prayer. Holy Father God, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us for weddings and funerals. Prepare us for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. We have so many Christians who have been so duped and bamboozled by the prosperity gospel, they can't handle anything that goes awry. Even death itself, which they know is coming. So Dr. Steve Schwartz said, and get it now, this is my last time sharing this with you, because I can pretty much in this society and world in which we're living in right now, of so many weak, malnourished Christians, I can close on this. And if it would motivate you to pray, start praying again like you're supposed to, not just praying one time in the morning, one time at night, Lord, lay me down and sleep, my soul to keep, and all that. Your mother, your grandmother, not your mother, your grandmother, your mother didn't teach you that in this day and time. Your grandmother or your great-grandmother taught you that little prayer to say when you were a child. You're not a child anymore. You better pray more than that. But Dr. Steve Schwartz said, cultivate your trust and your faith, and I say with him advisedly, familiarity with the Lord in prayer now, so that when the hammer of life comes down, and the hammer of life will come down on you, my beloved. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's true. It's coming. It's come. It's coming. It came for others. It's going to come for you. He goes on to say, when the dam bursts, or the dam breaks, and when the earthquake hits, the dams of life and the earthquakes of life hits the door to the throne room of God, the throne of grace is well oiled and will open easily when you run through it. Because at that point you'll be running. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a story. The story is told of a Christian Russian man named Ivan, who endures all the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. And I heard that the Soviet prison camps are almost like hell. One day he is praying with his eyes closed, when a fellow prisoner notices him and says with ridicule, prayers won't help you get out of here any faster. I'll tell you that. Opening his eyes, Ivan answers, I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of my God. How are you praying tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Are you praying to do the will of your God? Are you praying enough so that when the dam breaks and the hammer of life comes down on you and your family, that we all will find you still standing? And so, beloved, by way of continued introduction, we previously looked at what Dr. Warren Wiersbe said about Jesus being the great high priest in his unique person. Jesus Christ unites deity and humanity so that he can bring people to God and bring to people all that God has for them. Dr. Warren Wiersbe continues, no Old Testament high priest could minister mercy and grace in quite the same way as Jesus, if at all. When an Israelite was tempted in those days, he could not easily run to the high priest for help. And he certainly could not enter the Holy of Holies for God's help, lest he die. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we still have people saying, well, if God is real, why can't we see him? The truth is, God is really showing mercy and grace to you by not just showing up in your bedroom, showing up at the church, because you couldn't stand his glory. You would die instantaneously. He's showing you grace and mercy, allowing you to live. You couldn't stand it. You couldn't handle that kind of glory. It's all throughout the Bible. You just can't do it. Moses came the closest, and he could hardly handle it. And by the way, Moses was somebody. You can believe that. One of the reasons why Moses was somebody is because Moses, for the most part, was obedient to God. He understood how to listen to God and obey God. He wasn't perfect, but he understood that thing. He was faithful. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we can run to our high priest at any time. And what a gift that is. What a blessing that is. In any circumstance, and find the help that we need. So therefore, beloved, it is time out for all of these high-sounding Christians with all of their high-sounding titles, apostles, bishops. I'm waiting for somebody to call themselves an angel. We got so many titles in the church today, particularly among my people, black folk, and the charismatic people. Everybody is something. An apostle, a bishop, an evangelist, a lady, first lady, second lady. All kinds of titles and names. It's time out for all of these people with all of these great titles and names who are so high sounding and powerful on good days and things are going pretty well, but as soon as trouble hits, they fall apart. And you ask, where is the apostle? Where is the bishop? Where's the evangelist? They fall apart because they really have no faith in God. They have no faith in Jesus. It was all show. They can't handle anything. They quit very easily on serving God. As soon as trouble comes, as soon as somebody dies in the family, they quit. I thank God for Dr. Tony Evans. He did it the right way. When you face death after death after death after death, and then your daughter is facing death, he preached through it. He used his pain, along with, most importantly, the Word of God, to encourage others and to prepare others, because your day is coming. You might not be able to handle four or five deaths like, by the grace of God, I handled. But you got one coming down the pike as well. And I'm here to encourage you now before it comes. I heard a long time ago, when you're facing trouble and tribulation as a preacher, you just got to preach through it. Somebody said, when you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. Don't sit down on a hot rock. Keep walking through as fast as you can. And as I said to you earlier, because tribulation is increasing and will increase, trouble is coming, and sometimes trouble comes double. Bam, bam. What? Where are you now? Are you still an apostle? Are you still a bishop? Are you still a psalmist? Why ain't you singing? I'm here to tell you, when the trouble hits, be prepared for it, because it's coming. And God told, Jesus told you before he left, it's coming. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Stop believing the lie of the prosperity gospel. Because one heavy wind will knock some of you out in multiple ways. Spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. And you down and out. Because you really don't have a relationship with Jesus, the great high priest. You just don't, and you know it. You haven't prayed in weeks. And you never have prayed without ceasing. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't quit. See, there is that temptation there to faint and to quit. And we have so-called believers, pastors and preachers, who are throwing in the towel so hard, they're committing suicide. They went out altogether. Jesus never intended for you to try to rush your way to heaven, if that is even possible. I'm not on the bandwagon of preachers who say when people commit suicide, they're going to heaven. I can't join that band, because I know my Savior. And he is about life, not death. Satan is about death. And by the way, I said it before and I'll say it again, the devil is the one telling you to kill yourself. Now, Dr. Wiersbe continues, now because of the superiority of Jesus Christ, the great high priest, over Aaron, two important conclusions can be drawn. First, there is no need in giving up your profession of faith just because we are going through testing and trial and tribulation. Amen, somebody. Don't give up your profession of faith in Christ just because you're going through a test or a trial or tribulation, difficulties, things you don't understand. Pray without ceasing. Go to the throne of grace boldly. Stay there. Never leave. Pray without ceasing. You're going to need it. Another passage says, pray always with all kinds of prayer. Paul just went off on it. Supplication, intercession, pray. Whatever, however you need to do it, you pray. Dr. Wiersbe said, the word translated, profession, means confession. These Hebrew Christians were tempted to give up their confession of faith in Christ and their confidence in him because of the trouble, the tribulations, and the trials they were facing. How you doing, dear saints of God, who love smooth sailing? You're just so excited about being on your cruise ship and your nice little Bible study on your cruise ship with your favorite teacher and sipping a little wine and eating the fine and fancy foods. But as soon as you hit the iceberg, faith is gone, prayer is gone, falling out comes, head in hand, like you don't know what's going on. Like you've never had trouble before. Falling apart. No Bible, no prayer, no church, you're just out. And what I'm telling you is get ready for it, because it's coming. It's coming for you, just like it comes for me and comes for everybody else. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Stop believing lies. Stop being bamboozled. Stop being fooled. It was not a matter of giving up their salvation. Since salvation through Christ is eternal, so it was not a matter of losing their salvation. You don't have the worry about that doctrine of losing your salvation. If you're truly born again and saved, you might want to lose it, but you can't lose it. And the reason why you might want to lose it is because you're God's child now, and he's going to deal with you. And guess what? He's going to have his way with you. In other words, he's going to win. He will help you understand that you're going to do it his way for his glory or no way. He's that loving. You say, that's so hard. I don't like to be around people who always say, you know, it's my way or the highway. You know, God never really says that, but it's kind of like that. If you're his child, because he bought you with a price. Not only did he create you, he redeemed you by his own blood. So it's going to go his way. Now, he wants to do it with you if you cooperate, but God will take you home early if he has to. I know we don't want to hear that in our modern churches, but God has done it, is doing it, and will do it. If you don't believe me, try him. This is another message that preachers, pastors, don't preach on. You know they don't preach on hell anymore. But they don't preach to Christians that if you disobey God, offend God with your evil behavior, God will take you to the woodshed and whip your behind in love. You're not going to see any anger, the angry eyes and the angry words of a earthly father. But the whipping is going to be thorough. Far more thorough than what your father gave you. Because, see, God knows exactly how much, may God help you, how much it's going to take to get this devil out of you and help you to understand the most important lesson in life outside of the gospel, and that's obedience. You better learn that. I can't give it to you. I cannot teach you that. But God can, and he will. There are people who are dead early because they were disobedient. God knows it, and they know it. And other people who have some discernment, they know about it. You hear about somebody dying, and they're dying young and all of that. There's something wrong somewhere oftentimes, particularly if they're Christians. So that's just their time to go, I know. But they might have been harboring a secret that God knew about, and maybe you didn't know about it, and just one or two others knew about. Keep on doing it. Now, were they chastised? Yes. Were they warned by God? Yes. Probably about 25 years of it. God is very gracious. God gives you space and grace to repent. And just like his chastisement may last a long time, his grace and his space is way longer than what we'll give. Mine is about 15 minutes. How long is yours? And then we got to start whipping some tails if you don't do what I tell you to do. God's may be 15 years. He's very merciful, very gracious, and very patient, and very long-suffering. But as the old saints used to say, the wheel of God grinds slow, but it grinds show. You can bank on it. Whatsoever God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Red, yellow, black, or white. We're still all precious in his sight. But he'll deal with you now once you become his child. When you know better. I can't hear many amens. Amen, lights. When you know better, you ought to do better. And when you don't, God will take you home early. That's a fact. And what the problem is with so many so-called saints in the church today, They have no fear of God before their eyes, and they're playing with God. And God is nobody to play with. God will take you out of here early if you don't repent and stop your foolishness. That's right. There are some people dead today because they had a secret. You may not have known about it, but God knew about it. And God told them about it. And so, as I continue, Dr. Wordsby goes on to say, it was a matter of their public confession of faith. By returning to the Old Testament system, they would be telling everyone that they had no faith in Christ. God did not want them to turn back. This kind of unbelief would only bring reproach to Christ's name. How are you doing, dear Christian friend? How are we doing? After all, the great purpose of salvation ultimately is the glory of God. It was the glory of God that so concerned Moses when Israel broke God's law and made the golden calf. God offered to destroy the nation and to begin a new nation with Moses. But Moses refused the offer. I'm here to tell you, Moses was somebody. For real. Moses was somebody special. If you don't believe me, just read the first five books of the Bible. Moses, by the grace of God, was somebody. And God made him great. So he gets the glory, but he was somebody by the grace of God. Instead, Moses interceded for Israel on the basis of God's glory and God's promise, and God spared the people. Why? Because Moses was concerned about the glory of God. Now, God didn't need Moses to tell him anything. But God was pleased that he was concerned about his glory. Even though he disciplined them for their sin. And God will discipline you. And that's what's going on in the church today. Especially in the prosperity gospel churches. And that's across the board. It's just as much in the holiness charismatic churches as in the Baptist churches. Or vice versa. And people who have been living a lie, being hypocrites, being phonies and fakes, and lying and being dishonest. Are being chastised for their sins, their lack of fear of God, lack of reverence and respect for God. And they don't know what's going on because they have believed a lie, especially the ignorant ones, the ones who are not preaching it. They don't know what's going on, and they can hardly take anything because they have believed a lie. And then the second conclusion is this. There is no need to go back because we can come boldly into the presence of God Almighty at the throne of grace and get the help we need. In other words, so when bad times come, trials and tribulations come, and oftentimes they come as a group Sometimes you may be in a situation where you have a tribulation, a trial, a test, and trouble. And then that trouble comes double. It comes in bunches. That if you were the devil, you would send it in bunches. Overwhelming force. That's what he did to Job. It was coming from everywhere. But Job said, though he slay me, I will trust in him. How we doing? Get comfortable with trouble. It's coming. Get acquainted with grief as your Lord and Savior was. And learn how to depend upon him now. So when the real trouble comes, you'll be still standing when the tornado or the hurricane goes past. No trial is too great, no temptation is too strong, but that Jesus Christ can give us the mercy and grace that we need when we need it most. You might be saying, oh man, I'm sinking down really fast here. That's when you need to pray. That's when you need to go boldly to the throne of grace. Some say, but he is so far away. Paul on Mars Hill said he's very close by to each and every one of us. And he is the perfect Son of God. What can he know about the problems of weak sinners like me, like us? But that is a part of his greatness, isn't it? When he was ministering on earth in a human body, he experienced all that we experience, everything. And you talk about somebody really being somebody, his name is Jesus. He experienced everything. He knows all about it. You can tell him about everything, all of it. Every last bit of it. You might as well tell Jesus the truth because he already knows about it. He experienced all that we experienced and even more. Even more. After all, a sinless, watch this, I want you to get this. A sinless person would feel temptations and trials in a much greater way than you and I could ever feel them. What? Christ was tempted, yet he did not sin. And he is able to help us when we are tempted. If we fail to hold fast our confession of faith, we are not proving that Jesus Christ has failed. No, no. We are only telling the world that we failed to draw on his grace and his mercy and his power when it was freely available to us. If you fail, it's on you. It's not on Jesus because he's there at the throne of grace pleading with you to come boldly to him for help and grace and mercy in time and strength in time of need. So don't fall apart. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Go to the throne of grace. Even at your weakest moment, when you're feeling your lowest, when you feel like you can't utter three words, at least utter, Lord, help me. Yeah, things can get that bad when all you can mutter, all you can utter is, Lord, help me. And John Newton said, "Behold, the throne of grace, the promise calls me near." There Jesus shows a smiling face and waits to answer prayer. That rich atoning blood which sprinkled around we see provides for those who come to God an all-prevailing plea. "My soul, ask what thou wilt. Thou canst not be too bold, since his own blood for thee he spilt. What else can he withhold?" What else can he withhold? Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make this message real to all of the people listening all around the world, for we all need it. And Lord, those who have thrown in the towel, those Christians who are in sin, help them to confess their sins and repent while they still have space to do so before you take them home, as you will not allow any of us to stay here to embarrass your holy name and to not show appreciation for what you've done for us. You created us from nothing, and then you paid for us. You bought us with a price. You redeemed us through the shed blood of your holy Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, those who are serving you, but they're being hit left and right, right and left, front and back, with trials and temptations and troubles and tests. And the troubles are coming double in their lives, and they can hardly look up. Comfort them as only you can, and give them your grace and strength to come boldly to your throne of grace. I personally want to thank you, Lord, for teaching me a long time ago the importance of praying without ceasing, because only through praying without ceasing and reading your holy word can a Christian make it in this world and have the wisdom and the mind to constantly go before your throne of grace for help in time of need. Grant all of us who are truly born again and saved your grace, your strength, the power of your Holy Spirit tonight to go to your throne of grace and to stay there. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Lord, save those who are lost from your throne of grace tonight as they hear the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Dear friend of mine, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, just as the Pope is, the Dalai Lama, Joel Osteen, whoever you think is a great saint. We're all sinners. We all have done wrong in God's sight. We have all broken God's laws and commandments. And you have too. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We're all going to die. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave, our soul goes to heaven or hell, depending on if we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, for Jesus Christ said he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28 in one of his sermons, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's what Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly one, the loving one, said. Also, the Bible talks about who will go to hell or the lake of fire in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 8. These are they who will die and go to hell for sure. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is a real place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven when you die. Even though you have sinned against God, somebody paid your sin debt. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life in heaven with God." And all you have to do, dear friend, is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. He will do it. If he can save me, I assure you he can save you or anybody else. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou and you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him, call on his name to save you, and he will save you. Church membership will not save you. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. Baptism will not save you. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. These are good things to do, but they will not save your soul from hell. Doing great work and donating thousands of dollars to great causes, that's good to do, but it will not save your soul from hell. Jumping, shouting, speaking in tongues, and all of that religiosity will not save your soul from hell. Simple faith, simple belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And then call on his name to save you, and he'll save you. So please pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer, as you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight, for I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before, I've stolen things before, I have taken your holy name in vain, I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents, I've lusted after people and things in my heart and mind. Now, Lord, as you know, this is just five of your Ten Commandments that I have broken in your sight. And I have broken some of your other commandments. And I have sinned in other ways. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from all of my evil ways and my evil life and follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.